Welcome to the Between Two Frames Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Deek. On today's episode, our guest is Josh Bellingham. He is a very successful wedding photographer in the Niagara region of Canada, and he is a brand ambassador for Panasonic's Lumix brand of cameras. So we discuss what it's like to be a brand ambassador and what it's like where he came from as a wedding photographer, what inspired him to become a wedding photographer, and all the things that go into that. All right. So, Josh, welcome to Between Two Frames with Josh and me. and so I figured we'll start this off with you kind of introducing yourself, how long you've been a photographer, yada, yada, yada.
Hi, Josh Bellingham. I guess I'm a photographer. but I've been shooting professionally for, this is my sixth year. And before that, I was doing a lot of amateur photography, mostly street photography. In school, I was doing a lot of film photography, 35 millimeter, just kind of experimenting in the dark room. That was a lot of fun. But it's very abstract. I'm from an art, visual arts background, so like fine art background. I went to Brock University, took the visual arts program there. So it's my personal photography is more abstract and just kind of playing around with cameras, settings, trying to do funny things with cameras and things like that. Nothing in particular, really. But when it comes to weddings, that's what I do for professional work. I like it. It's a fun job. Pays the bills.
That's the best part.
Yeah, it's the best part. You know, I get to do what I love, and I'm around, you know, people who look great all the time and are happy to be there. They want, you know, this amazing day.
Right.
It's fun. I like it.
Yeah. You see, you basically just made the same pitch that I made for when I first got started with a camera in hand. It started off as photography, but I quickly became a video guy and I am one to this day. But I started at anime conventions kind of for the same reasons, because that's probably the nicest they're gonna look all year.
Oh yeah. Oh man, anime convention, that sounds like fun.
Oh, it's other than the fact that you are shooting on the same backgrounds every single time, like I'll see a picture and I'll see this garage door and I'm like, Congress Center. It's a garage door, but I've seen it so many damn times.
Yeah, man, that's what I get with the venues. If I see another photographer's shot of a venue, I'm like, oh man, I've shot there. It's like, the more you see, the more you, yeah, definitely. That's crazy. Yeah, it's our visual memory. It's,
right?
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, that's cool.
But So you've been shooting, you said, 6 years professionally?
Yes.
Yep. What made you decide weddings was your thing? Is it just the paycheck? I know Josh was going to ask that, but like,
well, you said it. It's everybody thinks it's a cash cow and it would be okay to admit it.
So I guess, how's the story go? So I did my 3 years at Brock Visual Arts, and then I went to South Korea for 2 years to teach English. And that's basically, at Brock University, I did a lot of film work and stuff, but I never had a digital camera. So when I went to South Korea, I bought myself a digital camera there, because the camera market's amazing. They had these huge markets, like electronic markets. You just walk through and there's just bins of stuff. And all. Anyway, this one camera guy had a Panasonic LX 3-point shoot camera, which was, it's a sweet little point shoot. It's got all manual features. You can do all kinds of crazy stuff. At the time, it was a really nice camera. And in Canada, it was going for like $1,000, and he was selling for $600. And I was like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go for that. So I didn't want like a big kit. I didn't know much about photography at the time as far as digital photography. So I bought that camera, and then basically it brought me into street photography, concerts, you know, like going around South Korea, the city, it's amazing. There's like, turn every corner, there's something to shoot. It was so awesome. And then basically I came back to Canada and I went back to Brock and did my final honors studio course. So I'm actually a painter, mm-hmm. I did large-scale paintings and stuff. But then after that I graduated and I'm like, I don't know, I'm an artist, what am I gonna do, how am I gonna make money, holy crap, you know. So I actually put my resume out there. I quickly got a job at the Walmart Portrait Studio. And within months, I was managing studios and favorite photographer of a lot of people, and just started growing from there. And then, you know, learning from portraits, and like I worked there for about 3 years, just families, Christmas time. It was just
you definitely learn how to sell.
Oh yeah, that's it, right? You learn how to sell. You learn how to work with people, work with large groups, work with small groups at a fast pace with team members and everything. So, and you have to learn your studio budget and everything. So it was just constantly going. Passport photos. I do like 40 or 50 passport photos in a day, on top of doing two or three sessions. It was like it's pretty intense. And you definitely have to manage your time. So, I mean, that really translated to me into wedding photography. So basically, the last part of my time at Walmart Portrait Studio, before the Walmart Portrait Studio went under, so that's basically how I was let go. I was able to kind of translate everything and make a business plan and then move right into wedding photography. They worked out great. The one nice thing was I met some really nice people in the wedding industry. That was my main goal, was, you know, I noticed, you know, hanging out with photographers was a good thing, but they weren't the ones that were going to make me money.
Right. Josh and I literally just had this conversation.
I like hanging out with photographers. I mean,
that's our mantra these days.
And, you know, but they're not going to get me jobs. So right away I was like, I got to talk to, you know, wedding officiants, my really good friend, Kathy Davis. She's an awesome wedding
officiant. She's a sweet lady.
She helped me out so much. And then there's a lot of other great wedding vendors, venues, you know, you just, when someone told me that their wedding was somewhere, let's say it was like Pillar and Post in Iron Lake. I called them up, the wedding planner there. And I asked the bride, who's your wedding planner? And then I contact them right away. I go for a walk around the venue. You know, I try to get, like, I've never shot there. You know, the bride, you know, really likes my photos. She hired me. I want to see what the venue's like. I want to see the lighting. So right away you make that contact with the venue and you get in there, and it's a good way to put your name out there. So that suddenly they like you, and suddenly, oh, there's a bride here that, you know, you do a good job. And the referrals keep coming, you know.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship that's the main thing, right? Like you want to keep making the money, you want to keep doing the business so that your photography, you can keep taking pictures, you can keep doing what you love. And,
yeah
being creative. I like the editing process. That's one of my favorite parts of the whole thing. Is you know, staying
well, then
home.
You can do all my edits then.
Well, the culling part, though, that's the hard part.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, oh, my
thousands,
goodness.
Thousands of pictures, and like just trying to cull them down. But
I won't lie, I don't miss weddings.
No? Oh, man. They're fun, man. You get to eat.
I miss the paycheck, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't shot enough weddings yet to have a bridezilla. Mm. But I know.
It's a bridezilla. I've only met groomzillas.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. Bridezilla.
Lucky you too, then. I haven't met one. I'm saying they do exist, though.
They're just stressed. No, they don't. You got to calm the situation.
See, this is why you're better than me. You're already more calm than I am.
See, Rob, I've had the pleasure of being his video guy at a wedding, and like Rob knows how to boss the group through. Oh, but if it ever came to diffusing a situation, I don't know if he'd be your guy.
Well, no, like the wedding planner at the wedding that the two of us worked together, she had very little organization skills, and so we had to be somewhere, and I was like, let's go, people. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it can happen. Yeah, it can happen.
I'm clearly in charge now.
Well, that's a good thing to a good skill to have, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of the time I play many roles when I'm doing it. I'm not right. just a photographer, right? That's my job. That's my main job, is to deliver great photos and a great experience. But the experience is also the main thing, right? Especially millennials these days, and the experience you give them is an important thing. You want them to feel you're a service provider.
They like, especially millennials, because I know we all grew up with like the fairy tale.
So like when it comes to the wedding, there's a high standard. Yeah. And you have to like have like really positive lasting memories. Like that's expected now. Oh, exactly. I mean, it's probably always been expected, but like
Fairy tale, like the royal family, you know, like
Or something. Yeah, we're not going to talk about them. They're in the news now.
And as always, I don't care.
Well, for sure. Yeah, it's the service is the main thing. You know, if something seems off, you got to make the mood in there change. You got to make it happy. You got to be there for them. Like they're paying you. They're my boss. The bride and groom. Yeah. It's what it's. I like it though.
Let me ask you this though. You know, you're kind of acknowledging like, you're working for them. They're the boss, but Rob has taken charge in a few situations and I happen to wholeheartedly agree with them. One of them being is Rob demands an unplugged ceremony.
Okay.
Because Rob tell the story about a cell phone coming into your frame.
Yeah. So I was shooting a wedding. No, it was an iPad.
Oh,
Grandma had an iPad, crazy. And she was in the front row and decided to step out into the aisle.
Oh,
and I was like, "Oh my God, couldn't you move?" And it didn't. Like, I know I've seen the video where the photographer walks over and pushes the aunt out of the way. Ooh. I've seen that video on YouTube. It went viral. Like every photographer was.
Oh yeah.
I didn't have to like get physical. But like I did like place like my hand like on her shoulder and I just kind of slowly pushed her over. You know, just move. Just
you kind of have to. Right?
And so after that, I learned my mistake to ask for an unplugged wedding. Yeah. So the photographer's here to take the pictures, not you. Keep your phone in your damn pocket.
Yeah, pretty much. I leave it open. Kind of like I talked to them about it. I told them it's probably a good idea, but if your family really likes to take pictures,
they're gonna rather you tell them to or not.
Yeah. I recommend that they tell the officiant to announce Josh.
That's what I do. Yeah.
The lane, you know, so I get the shots. And in most cases, people are respectful. I've had grandpas kind of mosey their way, you know, and then I'm like, oh, can I carry you? Saying, oh, it's got a zoom on it. Can you just, you know, zoom over there. you're trying to like do a job and everything. But yeah, there's stuff always going on. It's a constant play. You always have to be on your toes. Running on zero the whole day, you know, like sometimes you don't eat.
No,
for like hours. It's right. Crazy. But it happens.
I get it. Yeah. Is that the old like being a, you know, a convention videographer, like nobody was paying me, but I was on my own weird self-imposed rules. That was like 8-9 hours in the sun and I'm forgetting to eat all the time. I'm like, and I was doing this when I was much younger and like I'm 31 now and I'm just like, oh God, I'd never do it again. I'd have a fanny pack full of granola bars and like water bottles bolted to me. Like, 22-year-old me would go for 12 hours and not think anything of it.
Well, for
too
sure.
Old for that now.
Yeah, man. I think it was like 6 years ago, I was approached to shoot the Niagara Green Egg Festival. Do you know the green eggs?
No.
They're like the big
other than Dr.
barbecues
Seuss.
That they cook, you know, in. It's like a big green looking.
No, I've never.
No, it's like a smoker. You put all sorts of cool wood in there and you smoke it. Anyway, it was the big green egg festivals. I didn't have to pack granola bars because I was fed the whole day. But
yeah,
it was. Oh man, hot sun. I didn't wear sunscreen. It was a horrible idea. Just shooting the whole thing all day long.
I used to get really creative when I would do street festivals, like the Friendship Festival in Fort Erie or Springlicious in Niagara Falls. Springlicious is actually where I learned to do it. Oh. So I went up to like a food vendor that was like a specialized food. Like there's a pulled pork guy who it's not like, what the works. It's not like when the chip truck is there, it's specialized food or like the deep fried Oreos or the beaver tails or whatever. Right. I went up and I was like, hey, can I, you know, snap a picture of you serving me food? Like, you know, to show off there's food at the event. Right. And so they would have to make something. And then, well, they're not going to throw it out. So here you have it. So I would like go back to my like tent and I would come back arms full of food, and my, like my partner would be like, where'd you get all that? And I was like, well, this one came from that one, and this one came from that one, and this one came from that one. Oh, and so I got pictures of all of them.
Nice. Oh man, good
eats. It's a buffet.
Yeah, right. Seriously. Oh, that sounds
like I would make it a point to, you know, every single day, leave one or two for the next day because I'm there for 3 days. Plan out my meals.
That's awesome.
And it would work every time.
Meals I mean, meals at weddings, man, they're so good.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'm not going to say who didn't perform, but I'm going to tell you, Vintage Hotels does a good job.
Yes, you're right. Oh, they're yes, good. I've shot a couple, and yet no, they're delicious.
They're good meals. That's a perk. It's a perk.
Where else was good? the Stone Mill Inn.
Oh, yeah.
With Johnny Rocco's really downstairs.
Yep. Yes.
Oh, man. Johnny Rocco's. What is it? The rice balls.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Those are so good. All right. Make sure you tag them in this.
Yeah, right. shout out to Johnny Rocco's.
No, they're so good. The best meal I ever had at a wedding was at Vineland Estate Winery. Mm. That chef, like, out of this part, it was crazy. And it was a chef's wedding, so it was...
Oh, so it's there's an expectation.
It was like 7 or 8 courses. It was crazy. they went from, like, little duck to little chicken to little something to little... It was just, like, and all these soups, and, yeah, it was... That sounds wonderful. That was something else. Yeah, it was wonderful. They even brought me through the kitchen because the chef got to get a picture with the chef.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really cool.
Yeah, I like the random stuff that happens at weddings. You meet so many unique people, and, you know, especially with the elopements that I shoot. So, like, that's like half of my business is small, intimate weddings on the weekdays and elopements. So I end up...
Well, typically they cost less than a big wedding, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's sometimes easier for them to, like, at the client, for them to book it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I cost as much as the venue and the officiant. Like, it's pretty much like everyone sort of costs around $500. You do your wedding for under maybe
like $2,000. Yeah.
Boom. Done. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. It's a good way to do it.
Right. Absolutely. I completely agree. Like, I have a friend... I have a friend who does weddings, and he's like not cheap. And he will be like, somebody be like, oh, do you give discounts? And I was like, if you have your wedding on a Wednesday in January, he's like, I'll be like 1/3 the price because, well, yeah. I'm not doing anything else.
No, I just found that, you know, after my first and second year of shooting weddings, it was just like, I'm sitting around on the weekdays. I'm like, what, like, how can I change this? Right. And I'm so close to Niagara Falls, Niagara on the Lake, like not even 10 minutes
from honeymoon Lake. Capital of the world.
Yeah. And I was noticing, like, Elope Niagara, mm-hmm. they're racking it and they were doing so well. They're amazing. And they were kind of like my inspiration for it all. And basically, but they do everything on site. So I was like, well, I could be the guy that does it offsite, you know.
Right.
And I basically approached it that way and started advertising intimate weddings and mm-hmm. elopements. And then, because not too many other people were doing it
at the right time. I think you're the only one I know, like, personally.
Jesse James was doing it.
He's in Chicago now.
Yeah, he's awesome. We used to help each other out and stuff.
I met him sitting at a Starbucks once. He just happened to be sitting next to me. And he looks at me and he goes, are you Robert Deke? And I was like, I look at him and I was like, you Jesse? Yeah.
Well, he's awesome. Infamous. He's famous. Yeah, he's in Niagara for sure. Oh, yeah. He's going to do great things down south. He's a great photographer. But yeah, elopements, they're great, man. Like, I meet so many people. I've shot people from Australia, Iraq. I've shot people from China, like all kinds of, like, really amazing. And they bring their own cultures too. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you, like, done any cool, like, cultural weddings? Cause I know, like, they go big. When they do a big wedding, they go big.
The big ones, yeah, for sure. Latino weddings are my favorite. Dancing and fun.
Yeah.
Man, you get the flashes out, you start going crazy. It's a great time. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. And then, you know, you see other little things. I shot this really small micro wedding at a hair wine company. It's a really nice wine.
Were they like little people? Micro wedding?
Oh, no. No, that's the new term, man. It's the new term for a small wedding. Yeah. No one wants to say intimate anymore. It's kind of a thing. So most people want to say micro wedding. It's just, and they don't want to say small wedding. So
right. Because small diminishes the term. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
So yeah, it was, where were they? They were Norwegian, and they came all the way. They brought 10 family members. It was just a small round table. And one of the cool traditions or funny traditions was if the bride leaves, all the girls got to go around the table and give the groom a kiss. Go around and give a kiss. If the groom leaves to go to the washroom or something, all the men go around the table and give her a kiss. It was just kind of funny. It was like weird. I was just like, where'd this come from? But you're on your feet, you're going, you're like, yeah, just capturing it. It was so much fun. And then at one point we're outside, they're doing the first dance. I guess this is their tradition. And everyone circles the bride and groom, and they get closer and closer as the first dance goes, and they get closer. Mm-hmm. And then they attack the groom, the guys do, and then all the women attack the bride. Not really attack, but you know, get them. Yeah. And they lift the groom up, they take his shoes off, and then they take his sock and they cut the ends of his socks off.
Oh my God.
They all celebrate waving his ends of his socks around. And then the bride, the women, they start chopping apart her veil. Then they usually have a really long veil. So yeah, they started chopping apart her veil and enjoying. And I guess they all get to keep it as part of like
crazy Vikings.
Yeah, it's like, what can you take away? I don't know. Yeah, it was really cool. It was like, it was different. I didn't even expect it. It was just, you know, yeah, fun.
That's awesome. I kind of want to do one of these weddings.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Oh, I love it.
My dash of violence, like a little bit Dothraki.
If you're
I like
Norwegian,
it.
Call me for your wedding.
Yeah. Oh, it's I can't ask for more fun than a job. It's just meeting everyone. You know.
So back to the photography a little bit. You said you bought a Panasonic from the little South Korean guy.
Yeah.
Was there like a point to that? Like, did you pick that specifically for like, because you said like it was a bin full of stuff, and obviously there's more than one option. And
oh, for sure. So I went to Korea with a Samsung NV3, which I thought was pretty cool at the time. And it actually had little speakers, like with little subs built into it, and you could like listen without earphones. And it was a multimedia player. It was ahead of the time. Macro mode was actually insane on that thing. It was almost one-to-one. It was crazy on this little point-and-shoot camera. So I lost it. It was a fun night. Anyway, my camera went lost. So I was
happened in Seoul.
Yeah, lost in Seoul. So I thought I would get more serious, and I looked around for a good camera. And I wasn't looking to spend a ton, but this little camera, from all the online reviews, it was amazing. Low light quality, in lens stabilization, all in this little tiny camera,
which is insane for a point and shoot, especially long ago.
Yeah, it was f2 to f2.8 zoom, and it did like a 24 to 70. And
wow,
they continue to make this line. There's an LX5, LX7, and now an LX100, which has a micro four thirds sensor in it. Mm-hmm. That one's an f1.7 to f2.8, I think. With Micro Four Thirds, so it's a really nice little point and shoot lineup. More enthusiast, I would say, than a beginner, because you can manually change everything, and it's got an aperture dial, and then you can even most of them, I'm pretty sure all of them have a multi aspect ratio sensor. So that's it's a circle sensor, and what that does is there's a little dial on there, you can switch from 4/3 to 3x2 to 16x9. And what that does with the circle sensor, what it does is it keeps the most of the, I guess, the image on, instead of like cropping in on a square sensor, it's able to maximize the circle sensor.
So interesting.
You're continuing to get as many pixels as possible when you switch the ratios.
Oh, that's actually kind of cool.
It's not cropping in or anything, so you're not actually changing the image. So when you switch it to 16x9, the image stays the same. It's just it changes the crop. Like, well, not the crop, the image
view. The aspect ratio.
Yeah.
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 That's cool. So you buy this little Panasonic camera, point and shoot. And what were you taking? You just street photography with it, or
street photography? Yeah, scenery.
Whatever you saw, like, was interesting in Korea.
It was like I was always shooting wide, getting like the one of my things was to try to get up on top of buildings and take the whole cityscape and stuff like that at night. Things like that.
That'd be amazing at some place like that.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And the macro ability of those cameras was incredible as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they increased the sensor size a little bit as the generations went on. But yeah, after that, came back to Canada, brought the camera home. And then basically, yeah, the Walmart thing, started my business. But so when I started my business, that was the big change. So
I was going to say, you can't show up to a wedding with a point and shoot. I mean, you could, but...
No, you definitely don't want to show up with a point shoot. So yeah, that was a big debacle for me. Was what am I gonna do? I'm a pretty little guy, and holding, you know, a 24 to 70 full frame DSLR,
you just kind of fall over.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm 120 pounds. Right?
Yeah.
Two of those would almost be half my weight. It was like, it didn't seem feasible for me to have a 7200. You know, and you know, primes were just kind of like. They've always been around, but like people were still shooting with zooms at the time. When was that? That was like probably eight or 9 years ago now. So yeah, mirrorless was just starting to really get traction at that time.
I remember Sony coming out with a translucent mirror.
Yes, that was.
So it wasn't mirrorless. There was still one there.
Yeah, the A series.
Yeah,
those cameras. Yeah, they're ahead of the time. I've seen a few in play, and they're actually really great cameras.
Yeah, my buddy has one.
Yeah. And the lenses for those are really nice too.
Yeah,
you can throw any Minolta on those too, right?
Right. Yeah, any aim out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of transverse. Yeah, I was stumped. I'm like, Canon, Nikon, DSLRs, I don't know. You know, and then, the Lumix, so the camera I bought was the GH3. Mm. That's what I came down to the conclusion was that was the best all around and best price and covered everything I needed, was good enough professionally to shoot with, you know, up to 800 ISO through all the tests on... do you guys, what's that website that analyzes the sensors on
EP camera? Review?
No, yeah, I guess them too. No, there's another one, DxO Mark.
Sure, never heard of it.
It's almost on DxO. So they rate the sensors, they of all the cameras, and they can mark them like low light quality and all that.
Oh yeah, okay.
So the GH3 up to 800 ISO was had the same, if not better, dynamic range than the 5D Mark III.
What?
Yep.
That's insane.
So up to 800 ISO. After that, 5D Mark III takes it away.
Okay.
Because of the smaller sensor, there's not much you can do.
Right.
But yeah, Panasonic sensors were fantastic at the time. So I was like, you know, how often am I going to be shooting at 1600 ISO or higher? Really?
Right.
Like, I'm degrading the image pretty much. Even full frame people don't really try. They try.
Yeah.
You try to keep it down, right?
I would say it's very rare I go higher than 800.
Yeah.
Unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah. And at that point, my main focus was learning flash, because if, you know, I'm going to be using smaller sensors, cameras, when I'm in a dark situation, I better know how to use my flashes. So
right.
Like, that was a main thing I had to learn right away, was to how to on the spot throw in a flash, and, you know, no matter where you are, I've shot on the Hornblower in the middle of the night. So made of the mist. So you're down in this big, huge cavernous valley with a waterfall on a boat with water going everywhere, and you're it's pitch black at night down in this cavern, and there's nothing to bounce light off of. So, like, you know, I had to waterproof my lenses,
just bounce it off the big waterfall,
everything, and the flashes. Oh, it was
probably the world's largest waterfall.
I don't know how to flash that time. The flashes really changed the game, you know. It's So anyway, yeah, the Micro Four Thirds, at the time, it was revolutionary for me. I bought the 12 to 35 f/2.8 with the GH3, which is pretty much, they were designed together. So 2x crop, so 12 to 35. That's basically, it's so easy. 2x crop means it's a 24 to 70. So you just times everything by two.
Yeah.
F/2.8.
48 to 140. basically. You said times two. So,
well, so it's 12 to 35.
Oh, oh yeah, okay.
24 to 7.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, now I understand. Yeah, yeah.
So two times.
I got you.
Yeah. So so 24 to 70, f2.8. It exposes f2.8, but the look of the lens is f5.6 full frame.
Okay.
So if you're on 5.6 full frame, that's
right. It's times two as well.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, but it exposes f2.8.
Right.
So you're getting more depth of field, but you're still getting the advantage of having the f2.8.
Right. Okay.
So I use a lot of prime lenses now. So I use the Lumix. What I'm using right now is the 25 millimeter f1.4.
Right.
That's what you're seeing me on right now. And that's, so that's like 50 mil f1.4, or it looks like right now it looks like f2.8 if you're on a 50 mil f2.8.
Right. So that book is good. I won't lie.
Oh, it's a beauty lens. It actually has, so a lot of lenses these days are created with a ton of elements and a ton of glass. And this one lens is actually one of the lower, it's actually one of the first lenses that came out with Micro Four Thirds, like a year after they started releasing stuff for years. So they didn't really put a ton of glass in it. So it really does have an organic effect. And I really love this, using this lens. And it's tiny. It's like a little, it's like a ping pong ball. and I use this lens a lot. I don't know.
It's so cute.
Oh, I can't see it. It's going to catch my eyes. I can't do this. Hold on. I got on face detection.
Almost. Oh, there you go.
15 millimeter f1.7.
So interesting.
This is a 30 mil.
Yeah.
Equivalent, f1.7. So on full frame, it looks like a 3.4.
Hmm. Yeah, that's all right. 30 mil. And it's so cute and little.
Yeah, it's tiny, right? So like, and I usually put it on like a smaller camera like this. So this is my Lumix GX8.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a rangefinder style. And it's a nice little kit. This is my usually hip camera. I use my 42.5 f1.2 most of the time. That's like an 85 mil f1.2. So the look of it is a 2.4.
Right.
But if you think about that, so like I'm in a dark church.
2.4 is still pretty good.
But if I'm in a dark church and I'm trying to shoot, I got it wide open f1.2, I still get both bride and groom in focus with that nice shot. You know, it's like, I'm not at f1.2 full frame where it's like, holy smokes, I need the low light quality.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to have like this razor thin depth of field.
Oh, so I know.
It actually, I shoot wide open all day long, and it's always the right amount of bokeh, and the right amount of depth of field and sharpness all the time. And at f1.2, these lenses are so sharp. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. they're, it's a really great system. But so that's basically why I jumped in, because it was all there, and it was growing so fast. And then it had Olympus on the side. Not on the side. They were working together with Panasonic to create this whole system. Now there's hundreds of lenses.
Right.
It's an open source system too. So like you've got I'd say hundreds of companies building lenses and equipment for this entire Micro Four Thirds environment. And the video aspect of it now is just booming like crazy. Mm-hmm. The GH5 is
Everybody's talking about how great the GH5 is as a video camera.
Oh, everyone's talking about the GH6 coming out soon.
Oh.
It's gonna be big. No, I don't know. It's gonna be pretty amazing. But you know, a lot of people get down on Micro Four Thirds as being not good enough or something. But
people will complain about something as long as there's something to complain about. So,
I personally, when people start to get like picky about specs, they're the type of people who, and like I have this discussion with Rob all the time. It's the people who believe that photography is only a science, and I have to correct them. No, it's an amalgamation of art and science.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And so people who are only obsessed with latest specs probably, you know, couldn't actually frame the picture to save their life.
Right. What's rule of thirds?
I am not in the rule of thirds
right now. And I'm not even like the type of guy who gets obsessed with rule of thirds, but
everyone's kind of in the rule of thirds. Yeah, it's not bad. I can see Rob's inspecting the rule of thirds. Oh yeah, right.
There you go.
No, the one tip I'd give if you ever wanted to shoot Micro Four Thirds, crop to like when you're shooting
crop with your feet.
Yeah, exactly.
Or zoom with your feet.
Yeah. Look, if you want that full frame look, you got to work for it.
Yeah, that's back up a little.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, most of the lenses I had were like the most lenses I use now are like f1.2, f1.4, mm-hmm. but the 2x crop, that's f2.8, f2.4. And those are lenses that
professionals which is, use, yeah, which is the lens, like those are the lenses the full frame people want. So,
it works for me. It looks full frame. I had lots of compliments. Like, I can't believe this looks full frame. It's, you know, mm-hmm. it takes practice, but you can really achieve it. You just got to believe in it. And that's basically how, the sponsorship came across.
Right.
Just believing in the underdog.
So I was going to say, where did that come from? Like, did they just call you up one day and were like, hey, Josh, we see you using your camera.
It was kind of like that. Yeah, it was, I don't know. Basically, yeah. So how long has it been? It's been like 3 or 4 years now. I didn't have an Instagram page for the first 2 years of wedding photography. And my one buddy was just like, dude, what is wrong with you? I do not have an Instagram page. So I signed up and, you know, I started posting my weddings and I was looking around at all the other photographers out there to shoot Lumix and, you know, started following Lumix. And since that's the cameras that you use, you know, everyone's used Canon or Nikon. So I was like, well, who uses my cameras? And there weren't that many wedding photographers out there using my cameras. It was just such a new technology. People were still like skeptical of mirrorless. To begin with, right? Like the A7 didn't come.
There's some people who are still skeptical of mirrorless.
Oh, it's weird, right?
It's just a trend.
But seriously, like I was used to.
Yeah, so is digital film. No, film's coming back. It's coming back.
It's a niche, man. It's definitely a niche. I've got a few film cameras. I don't really use them very much. It's expensive. Like, I'm not making money off of
it. It adds up, that's for sure.
Yeah. I got to focus on the business right now, but maybe when I retire, I'll break out those old cameras and use them. But where was I going with this? The Lumix cameras, they were just starting out, and there was nothing really else out there for me. And so the Instagram, I was going on Instagram. I was seeing what other people were hashtagging. So I was hashtagging Lumix, Lumix Canada, Lumix, and then one day I saw this thing that there was a Lumix meetup and I was like, oh, what the heck? It was in Toronto. I was like, oh, I didn't even hear about this. So I messaged Lumix Canada, like, hey, next time there's an event, like, how can I find out about it? Oh, by the way, here's some of my work. I've been using your system for years, like 2 years now. And they just saw my Instagram and every day I was posting one or two photos of using their cameras and like posting, you know, what camera, what lens, and talking about it. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I just got a message. Oh, hey, do you want to come to Toronto? And we're doing a talk and meet with our manager. And I said, sure. Basically just went to Toronto, met them, shook some hands, and they said, give us a list and, you know, you could test out some cameras. And I just went home and I'm like, what do I want to test? They had some good stuff there already. And I wrote the list down and they, you know, this giant box showed up at my door and I was like, oh my God, this is real.
No kidding.
Like Panasonic tape on the box. I was like, oh wow. They weren't joking. So yeah, I know it's still over my head. I'm still completely humbled by it, but like I don't know.
That's still awesome.
Yeah. So you know, I try to use it. I try to, you know, write reviews. They've got a website on panasonic.ca.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see some of my reviews on there. So I just review the gear. They send me some stuff. It's pretty all right. But yeah, the name helps.
That deal is like all Rob wants in the world.
Yeah, I know, right?
So does everybody else. It's not just me.
Well, so OM Digital,
Black Magic is listening.
Oh, yeah. Well, OM Digital is a new company. They might be worth checking out.
Never heard of them.
Oh, Olympus. So they went under.
Olympus. Yeah. Okay.
And now they've been consumed by some company and now they're OM Digital. But they're still using the Olympus name for a while, but then they're going to slowly transition into
Well, that's like Ricoh and Pentax. Ricoh owns Pentax.
Yeah, pretty
much. But Pentax is still Pentax.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame. Like, it's weird what's happening to the camera industry, gobbled up by cell phones and
right
uninspirational things like that. But yeah. But I know it gets people out shooting. There's more photographers in the world than ever. Like, I don't even look at the stats. It's like billion. Like, it's
right, crazy. How many pictures are uploaded to Instagram a day? Like,
when does the internet run out of space?
Seriously, I don't know. I don't even think they know. Whoever they might be, I don't think they know either.
Where do they really know? Is it just sitting there? I don't.
Well, you remember, like, a few years ago, they actually did run out of IP addresses, and they had to like make a new system.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty crazy.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, because it's a nine digit, you know, nine digit number.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically any, you know, cell phone has its own IP.
Mm-hmm.
Yada yada yada. So yeah, they did actually like run out of IP addresses on that system, and then they actually just had to make it like a new system.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you? That's nuts.
Yeah.
I remember a few. It was probably like 6 or 7 years ago. Yeah, they were running out of hard drives. I don't know. Do you guys remember that? It was hard to find a hard drive. No, it was crazy.
No, I've always been able to find hard drives.
No, there's a shortage. It was like for a year there. Yeah, maybe it was.
That's crazy.
When Future Shop went under, I don't know. Maybe there
was. Oh, no God. Future remember Future Shop?
Where's my Future Shop? I want my hard drive.
It's funny because, like, I went into Best Buy probably 2019 sometime because we were still allowed to go, you know, outside and play. I went to Best Buy and I was standing, like, in the camera section, and not a single person spoke to me. I was there for like 20 minutes and I looked at, like, somebody walked by towards like the Geek Squad desk, and I was like, you know what? And he's like, what? I was like, I miss Future Shop. And he goes, why? I'm like, 'cause those people would hound me.
Well, it's crazy. No, I worked at Japan Camera back in the day, and they stopped selling cameras because Walmart was selling them and only making pennies.
Right.
They were able to sell them so cheap and make pennies off the camera. Well, they put everyone out of business.
That's like Blacks who like switched to cell phones.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, there's no way to make money off of it. And like, yeah, it was really sad. I mean, they just went into printing basically.
Right.
And they had to switch their company over and do, like, you know, they bought a huge large format printer and started doing like unique projects of signs and things like that, which helped out. Business cards and things like that.
Right.
But yeah, selling cameras now is like, it's mostly an online thing.
Yeah. See, I don't like shopping online for expensive things. Like, I'd rather physically go to a store and like touch it and hold it and walk out of the store with it.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. No, I dig that. Yeah, it's kind of like, it feels like it was safely brought to the store. They're not going to put anything out.
Right.
Yeah.
See, like, especially like on something like Amazon. So like my time working in the camera store, one of the things I learned was if you bought a Canon Rebel on Amazon, that Canon Rebel was like, the distribution for it was given to somebody. So that somebody could be literally anywhere in the world. So if their distribution was, let's say, like Japan, the serial number belongs to Japan. So if something happens to it, Canada won't touch it. So your warranty is basically null and void, unless you have a warranty from Amazon specifically.
I think that's what happened with one of my cameras.
And so having somewhere, like, I'll never, ever order a camera gear on, I'll buy a softbox or something on Amazon. Like, I don't give a crap then.
Yeah.
But like something that's going to cost me more than $600, never going to happen.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I've definitely been like, I feel safer getting straight from the manufacturer.
Yeah.
Like, that's where my head's at for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, luckily for me, Canon and, you know, Sony and Nikon, they all have offices in Mississauga. So I can go pick it up if I want it. I'll get it from them directly.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, actually, I bought, it was one of my best worst purchases, but I bought a Panasonic GX7. Stellar little camera. But I bought it online, open box from New York. And
like from B&H?
No, from 42nd Street Photo.
Sure.
They had great deals. It was
of course they did.
It was like a $1,200 camera here. I bought it for like $450.
That's insane.
It was insane. And I was like, who would pass this up?
Right.
Anyway, it came to me in a box that was supposed to include a lens, but the lens wasn't in there. But I wasn't expecting a lens in there. And then it ended up being NT. Wait, what is it? The video code. You know, the
NTSC
foreign,
or...
yeah, the foreign, it was a foreign video code, so the videos wouldn't play on, like,
oh,
I could take the pictures and the pictures were fine, but the videos wouldn't work. It was like,
right,
I was like, oh man,
like it was like a region 2 video code.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. Where did this come from? Anyway, I love the camera, I still use it every day, but it's just, it's yeah, that was it happened.
Well, I won't
do it again.
Both Sony cameras I've owned, I bought in like Buffalo.
Oh, right on.
Because since the, you know, tariff issue with North America trade, whatever the hell, we're not going to talk about that. But since that stuff went down, coming into Canada costs more money. So basically all of our gear has markup on it because of these taxes.
Yep.
And so to buy it in Buffalo, I even with the 30% exchange rate, I was saving money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
So, like, you do the 30% exchange rate and then the 8% sales tax. So, you're paying 38% more of what the marked price is, but you're still saving money. It would be stupid for me to not do that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially since Buffalo is, what, a 20-minute drive from here.
Yeah.
Like, if something goes wrong, I'll just take it back across the bridge.
Have you ever checked out Adorama?
I've looked, like, because I've obviously subscribed to them on YouTube.
Yeah, their used section is actually pretty awesome.
I love B&H's used section.
Yeah, yeah. That's it's great to find gear on there. Like, when I was starting out, I bought two of these cameras, Lumix GX1.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a tiny camera. It's
like, so tiny. Yeah,
tiny camera. Trying to give you an idea. Yeah, they're fantastic. I bought this retailed about $850-900 here. I got it for $200 used at Adorama, and
so, yeah, even $200 US, you're saving money.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was crazy, and it's perfect condition. I still use it today, and yeah, it's awesome. Like, you can't go wrong. Right. And the exchange rate was better then, so it was like,
you're right.
Yeah, I was really racking it, but I got it sent to a box at the border.
Yeah,
and then I was, you know, did a little sneaky thing.
Yeah, no, that's how I ordered my roto lights. I won't lie.
Yeah.
So, I got it sent to my buddy's house in Lewiston. Hey, I'm coming over to pick them up.
Yeah, man.
What do you tell customs? Nothing. Going to visit my friend. Shut up.
Exactly. Yo, do you ever use old film lenses on your mirrorless cameras?
Not since I've switched. I did when I was shooting with the A6000.
Oh, okay.
All the time. I had the little plastic adapter, because it wasn't even like digital, or it wasn't like electronic. But I used a whole bunch of Minolta lenses and.
Oh, right on. Yeah, that's fun. It's fun. I used to collect a bunch of lenses. It was always fun going to auctions.
I need like better quality lenses though, because like mine were like clearly old and dirty.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you never know.
So it just looks like film, okay?
Yeah, that's when Rob taught me about exposure peaking.
Yeah, yeah, focus peaking, and yeah.
Focus peaking. Well, people like the light leaks and all kinds of weird stuff now.
Yeah.
Like, they digitally put it in now. It's like,
right?
Yeah, it's weird.
Look at that fake lens flare.
Yeah, and then people are buying like 47 megapixel full frame cameras with like the most sharpest lenses, and then downgrading everything to
yeah, right. Like, here, have a filter.
Weird. It's weird. Why would you buy that camera if you're doing that? Yeah.
More money than brains, by the sounds of it. I know some people.
For like more, that. See Rob's
yeah.
less spend, more click video.
Yeah. Yeah, I made a video based on that. You don't need a fancy camera. You can, you know, you go do your thing with a $400 Canon Rebel. It's totally possible.
Well, seriously, right? Yeah. No, I don't know. When I started my first wedding, I was using the GH3 at 12 to 35. And then that little camera I just showed you, the GX1, with that Canon FD 50 mil.
Right.
That's a 2x crop. So it's 100 millimeter f1.4.
Right.
So But, and, you know, at the time, I was so new. I didn't second shoot until my like second or third year. I was like, I just went into it. I'm like, I'm just doing this. You know,
right.
Walmart Porsche Studio, they had a Canon Rebel stuck on a stick.
Yep.
You can't like, do
that's,
much.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, it was like if you want to get creative, you really got to.
Well, we talked before. My cousin worked there and she let me play with it.
Yeah.
She's like, here, check this out. And I walked back and it's on a stick and there's a big softbox there and that's all you get.
Yeah, it's it.
You'll make it work.
Yeah. If you, it was fun. I mean, you had to really be creative. Like, you had to really think about what you're doing, move people around and backgrounds and stuff.
Learning how to pose probably came in handy.
Hey, sorry?
Learning how to pose, people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, big time. Especially, like, most of the people came in were, like, you know, bringing their kids and stuff.
And, right. And don't know what they're doing and sit there awkwardly and...
Some studios were older than others. And then some studios had like really high things that you would pose the kids on. And it was so scary. And you know, the parents had to be right there.
Yeah.
And if they weren't right there, well,
the kid was, fired.
They got a camera, they were watching you. But like, of course, like you don't want the kid falling off the thing, but but like just posing them, learning the poses, they always had the pose guides up on the wall.
Yeah.
Constantly doing it, you really learn how to pose people, the proper way to move things. Mm-hmm.
It's like a crash course in basic photography.
It really helped. It made me confident. Like when I walked in the studio, I was super nervous. I've never done anything like this in my life.
And, right.
I had a really good trainer, Chelsea. She did a great job training me. She was awesome. And then basically I just took off after that. It was just like, oh, this is great.
You know, right.
I love shooting. It's great. It's, you know, people get happy. They're like, oh my God, look at these photos. And, an awesome feeling.
Yeah.
Really good feeling.
That is the photographer's payoff, like more so than the money, is when somebody lights up at a picture of themselves that they love.
Oh, big time.
Because you just like captured them in their like most beautiful moment.
Well, exactly.
Especially in a wedding. Because how many times are you gonna dress up and look like that?
Yeah. Well, I love it when you get that shot and you're just like, take a look. Take a look. You gotta look at this. You gotta look. Oh, that feeling though is
That's quickly become what Rob's phrase, and I know that he got like his best shot of the day. He just goes, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. That's the one. We're finished.
Doesn't get better than that. We're done.
I'll call you when it's done. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Right on.
So,
I don't know. So what are you guys doing?
You know, this.
Yeah, COVID.
Yeah, it's
it's been slow. Yeah, it's definitely been interesting ever since everything's hit. You know.
It's definitely changed how the world is.
Yeah, the industry is
like it's hurting. Yeah, like I was, you know, before things hit, I was getting like ready to like really go after small businesses to like, you know, make, you know, kind of small commercials, and so many of them got shut down. So, you know, I haven't even been shooting a lot during this time. I've actually been more going back to old footage. And now that I'm like much more into doing like cinematic color grading, I'm like trying to like make old footage look nice again. That's kind of what I've been doing a lot of right now. And pretty much the only like full on video I shot was actually for my Kendo club. And oddly enough, it was about our COVID cleaning procedures.
Yeah, right on, man. That works. That's awesome. Yeah. I've been going back to a lot of my old footage too. It's clearing out, man, tens of thousands, so many photos. Like, it's crazy. Yeah, organizing it and trying to delete.
That's what I've done in the last 2 months.
I think that's
probably Josh and I'll sit on Zoom while I go through galleries and. Oh, I like that picture. Oh, I don't like that picture. I like that picture. Let's download that one and save it and put it on Instagram. And
you know, during the day, I'm actually like, I'm like the media.
Your mic cut out, Josh.
Oh, sorry.
Oop. Yeah, there you go. You're good now.
Back. So my day job is I'm actually the media head at a construction company, and that includes doing their socials. And I kind of trained Rob how to schedule socials.
Yeah. He taught me how to use Hootsuite, and
I did.
I make posts for a week and then I don't have to touch it again till, you know, I'll do it Monday. I won't have to touch it again till Friday. That's it makes awesome. It so much easier.
Yeah, man.
Spend an hour doing that instead of every single day. Oh, did I post? I don't remember.
Yeah, don't worry. I just do it on the fly.
We're going to teach you too then, huh?
Yeah, I guess you can. It'd probably be so much easier.
So much easier.
Seriously, right? Yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to with my calling, I started a little new Instagram page, just my work that work. It's just stuff I've been photographing for the last 5 or 6 years with the Lumix cameras I got, and, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. just wandering. Like I like to do, you know, walks around and just take shots, and got 3 dogs. So I walk them all the time. So I just mm-hmm. bring a camera along.
Especially yeah, like actually, Lumix. Yeah.
Yeah. If Lumix sent me a camera or a lens, you know, that most of the stuff you see on my reviews is just me going around and walking around.
Yeah.
And some wedding stuff and things like that.
But here's the thing though, is like, when it comes to just like being able to walk around and shoot stuff, like how great is it to live in Niagara for that?
Oh man, it's nice, especially with the changing seasons.
Everywhere you go, it's pretty.
Yeah, that was my biggest problem with you know, kind of starting off in you know, the comic book anime convention scene, is that scene lives in Toronto.
Yeah.
And like me just trying to convince people to come out here, it's just like, okay, how many times have you shot like this fantasy character in a concrete parking lot?
Do you like that brick wall, or do you like that brick wall?
or do you want to come here and shoot that Lord of the Rings elf in a real forest?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like a waterfall, or yeah.
Oh, yeah. That definitely makes sense. But I get this urge to want to shoot in the city though. It's so weird.
That's because you're here.
It's what you don't have, right? You want the opposite.
Because I'm the same way. I'm like, what? We can go shoot in like Nathan Phillips Square? Yes, let's do it.
Yeah, man. So many weird things.
I'm tired of trees. Let's go get some brick.
Yeah. No, seriously. No, it's weird, that dynamic. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Shooting's fun. Testing out new gear.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. What gear would you guys ever want to get? Like, what's your dream camera?
Right now, so right now I'm shooting with the Canon RP.
Oh, that thing's pretty sweet.
I have the 70-200 EF at 2.8.
Yeah.
And the 24-105 F4 EF.
Oh, right on.
And
little lens.
Yeah, I've now owned it for about a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you see the F2 zoom that they have?
Which F2?
The F2 zoom that Canon released, like with their mirrorless system.
I don't know.
You haven't seen that one? It's like a 24-50 F2.
No, I don't.
Oh man, that's a sick one. It's gonna be expensive though. It's like
probably.
It's crazy.
Well, I know they made a 200 prime F2.8.
That one's sweet.
And I'm just like, why?
To be really far away.
And I mean, with all due respect, I do use the 70-200 almost exclusively above 150 because, you know, lens compression. But
well, what was that? There was a sweet Sony lens that they released.
The 600?
No, it was like a 100 f/2.8, but they put this weird glass in it to make it have really nice bokeh.
I don't know.
No, I don't know. I think it was a 100 f/2.8, but it was a weird lens. Anyway, I'm getting off topic.
But so if I had to, like, if I was going to upgrade my camera and money wasn't an issue, I'd probably buy the R5 because I already own I already have the lenses now. I just need to, not that my camera's bad. I just get the better version.
Seriously. Did you hear about that new Nikon coming out soon?
Z9 or something? Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. I saw like a post about it. I'm not techy enough to be like, I don't care. Get that off my screen.
Rumors, rumor sites and stuff like that?
Never.
Never.
my camera rumors come from other people who do read it. Hey, did you hear about it? Yeah.
No.
Now I have.
Don't care about the rumors. Don't care about it. No. When the camera comes out, I'll be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. When I own it, I'll be happy.
Yeah, seriously. Oh man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I think I'd like a Leica.
I
kind of like that, but I've never
Hasselblad.
Hasselblad. Yeah, man.
The $47,000 one.
Wait, have you? Wait, what's that? Hasselblad? They came out with like a mirrorless
medium. I think so. Camera. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like $6,000. Like.
Yeah, and that's bad. The cheap one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I looked at B&H, and I looked today because somebody asked me about it. They Hasselblad has a $47,000 camera.
Well, that's a little much.
I was like, oh look, there's your house down payment.
And some.
You can buy a new car.
Well, it's crazy.
Outright.
Yeah, the prices on some of those things are nuts. It's like, but most people are probably leasing those, right? Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine people are buying those up. And yeah. It's like construction equipment.
I can't even like in my small head justify why you would need such a camera. And the only people I ever see shooting like Hasselblads are, I would call them working professionals, who are like shooting huge ad campaigns and.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm like, I would never need such a camera. Mm-hmm. Like $5,000 would be the most I ever spend probably. Like I've never had to, but if I like had to put a price on it, I wouldn't need to spend anything more than that.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Have you guys ever used a high resolution mode on cameras? I think Sony started doing that.
I'm not sure. I mean, I might have, but not like intentionally.
Shifts the sensor around.
And pixel shifting?
Yeah.
No, I have not. I've heard of it though.
Yeah, Lumix, they've been doing it for a while. Olympus is the best at it. They can.
I've heard. Yeah.
They can do it handheld. It's pretty crazy. Yeah, to get an 80 megapixel image made from 8 images handheld, it's like, what? How do you?
Yeah, that's excessive.
Processing power, man. Processing power. Yeah, that's the one thing that cameras are lacking right now is processing power.
Yeah.
The cell phones.
Especially compared to cell phones. Be like, how come this little thing it can beat my camera? That doesn't make sense.
It's crazy. The only differential is the sensor.
Like, yeah.
Really. And the lens, being able to switch lens. And then the ergonomics, I guess. But
like, right.
But
like if the camera companies moved more towards cell phone, like an operating system, versus like they're the same menu they've had since 2005. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the technology changes. Like, I get it, but just like stick a SD card in it with an upgrade, and look, your software has changed. You know?
Well, seriously. Like, I don't know. This camera I'm using right now, it's a pretty good one. Lumix is really good for updating software, but.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're still far off from reaching cell phone.
Yeah. I think they all are.
It's crazy. Well, Zeiss just released a pretty sweet camera. Well, I don't know if it's actually released, but it has Wi-Fi built into it, so that you can upload right to the internet, but you can edit right on the screen there and then upload, and you got all
the. You're right. See, that's a technology all of them should have. There's no excuse they don't.
Like, you know the RX1, Sony?
Yes.
Yeah, that little point and shoot
full
frame with the F2. So it's the same basically camera. It's
okay.
Like an attached F2 35mm lens.
Yeah.
And the leaf shutter in there. And then you basically got this camera that's fully compatible to upload online and all that stuff, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Like directly to Facebook? Got an idea?
Directly. But it's also, I think, which is another future technology coming into cameras, is it has an internal SSD.
Yeah. That will make it way faster.
Oh, yeah.
Way faster. And like, I'm surprised cameras aren't doing that right now. Like,
right.
Why isn't there just a big memory in my camera? Like, why am I having to flip these cards? And stuff?
Especially because, like, the SSD in my desktop computer is probably that big and that thick. There's no reason you can't slide that into the side of a camera.
Yeah. And still be able to use SD cards for, like, backup and stuff. But, like, what? Yeah, like, I should just be able to go out and shoot without worrying about it.
Right.
Yeah. That'd be nice not to have to think, like, oh, what the heck, I'm out here? You know, like, in the middle of nowhere and... Oh, the memory card! No, I don't know if that's ever happened. It's never happened at a wedding.
I've never had it happen at a wedding, but I've definitely forgot my memory card at home and had to go to Shoppers and spend way more than I should have.
and then of course the poor video guy over here working in 4K. It's happened to me.
Man.
and then there's also the problem of write speed. You know, when you're shooting in 4K. And like you're dependent on the write speed of the memory card, And I'm just thinking like, oh God, I would love an SSD in that. And Rob and I were talking about this earlier, where my kind of next level upgrade would be to go to a full cinema camera. And, you know, I looked at Blackmagic, of course, because it's kind of called the poor man's Red. So obviously, but then.
Hey, we can share lenses.
Yeah. But then getting a Blackmagic is not just getting a Blackmagic. They are notorious for bad batteries. So that means you're going to be getting a cage with extra battery, and you're going to want the thing that you can put the, you know, the SSD on top of. So I'm like, I know it's not just buying a camera.
Yeah.
And I can't get all the extras.
The whole system. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, those cinema cameras, they're good. They're damn good.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't have too much video experience. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I said right now I shoot on a Sony A6400. You know, stick it on a gimbal and you know you can get a lot out of it.
And it weighs nothing. So any gimbal
weighs nothing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
they take great pictures too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know that for sure.
Yeah. I loved my 6000.
Yeah.
It's small, it's compact, it does the job it needs to. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the 6400 is the better version of it. So,
yeah, they're up to like what, 67 now? adding
I think 66 was the newest one.
Okay, right on. Yeah, they're good cameras.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah, Josh. Where can we find you? Like, what's your website? What's your socials?
JoshBellingham.com is my wedding page. If you want to look at wedding photos. At Niagara Wedding Photographer is my Instagram. But I've also just started Josh Lumick Stories. If you're interested in
not weddings,
random stuff. Yeah, not weddings. Macro, different weird things, and sort of just everyday stuff. And then you can just search Josh Bellingham Lumix, and you probably find my just Google that.
Oh, I found it just by Googling your name. So
yeah, you can find my reviews, my Panasonic reviews and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. Cool. I appreciate it. If anyone wants to look, I really appreciate it.
I mean, we don't have followers yet, but I mean, we're growing. My numbers are going up. We've only done two so far. This is now the third.
And... Yeah, man. No, it's awesome. You guys are doing a great job. It's a really hard thing to get into.
It was hard to start, but once like the ball started rolling, we're good. Yeah, it's easy now.
Yeah. No, you guys do a great job.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you guys having me on here. It's been a lot of fun.
Appreciate you being here.
No, this is great. This is great. So thank you,
Josh. Thanks for being here. See you later.
Thank you.